an hour to get through this material and to have a good discussion. So with your permission, I'm going to move forward. We gave you a spreadsheet, a little analysis that kind of looks like this, and then I replaced it today. It's kind of front and back. There is no substantive difference between what you got in your box and this. It was just some corrections that Michael and John and I looked at and made, but it doesn't change any of the pros and cons or questions that we have. This was meant to kind of summarize what we thought was presented at your last council meeting, and hopefully it was kind of helpful to you to kind of get your minds kind of around where we might be going on this. So, and then this information, Raven probably knows more about this stuff than I do, but this information was provided to us. Jeff, talking to our rate consultant.
She doesn't have one.
Talking to our rate consultant came up with some of this information, and then Raven has some additional information that she and Jeff have been working with that relates to some of the financial stuff. And Jeff, by the way, is gone for a couple weeks to California. I just got Michael back from New York, and Jeff goes to California. When he gets back, Haslip goes to
Italy.
So.
We're paying people.
Tis the season, I guess. Anyway, so this is some of the information that we've presented, and that we hope that it'll be useful for you this evening. Here's what I'd like to do is I'm going to assume, and if I'm incorrect, tell me. I'm going to assume that you've all taken a look at this, and so we don't have to spend a lot of time going through all of the pros and cons. So what I'd like to do is just do a quick, is there anything on here that's unclear to you or you need an explanation? And then ask on these questions that are over here, of the questions that we've asked, are there some that you particularly want to discuss, and hopefully we can provide some information to you, particularly the money kinds of things. And then what we would like to do is to basically just go across the council and give you each an opportunity to talk about what you've seen, what you prefer, what can you live with, and what you absolutely don't want to see happen. And kind of see where we are at that point. Take a kind of an assessment as to how does it look like it's kind of shaking out, and whether we need to do some more talking about different questions or the way different things are put together, or whether there seems to be enough support to one way or another, or one of the alternatives to move forward, or come up with another alternative too, I suppose. So if that's okay, that's where I'd kind of like us to try to get to in an hour if we can. Is everybody all right with that? Okay. So, do you have any questions or clarifications or additions that you would like to add to the pros and cons that are on here? Anything?
Did you
come up with any new pros or cons on any of these? I would be surprised because you had some of the most expensive minds
in the world.
I have questions, but not pros, not additional pros or cons.
Okay, so we're okay. You're okay that the pros and cons that we've set forth here kind of generally reflect each of these alternatives. Okay, now go ahead, Brian.
Okay, one of these it says may create a sense of betrayal from the development community, but personally, I felt it was a betrayal of the community as a whole when we did this thing to start with, because we dumped off costs onto the citizens of Wayne for the benefit of the developers. I don't think that's right.
Okay.
think I never heard, saw one person come in here who was just a citizen of Blaine who was in favor of this. The only people that came in here were people that had a vested interest in this.
Let's appreciate that. Let's. We don't have any clarifications. So, any questions regarding any of the pros and cons or the alternatives that you want to discuss? We've listed a bunch of questions. There may be others, but is there any that you want to explore further that you have any questions or concerns about, and you want to hear a little bit more? Anything on, let's look at the one where it was my option that we keep the general facilities fees where they are now until the 5 years is up and then deal with it at that point in time. Any questions on that? We talked about what are the rate implications of that decision. I don't know, do we have any information about that, Raven?
A little bit. Council approved would have the monthly residential bill in 2012 at $99.28. That would be going up, and that includes this 50% of the rate stabilization account being used to help with the 2012 debt. So that was something in the last meeting was brought up. The water fund was loaning. It's not the water fund, but an actual rate stabilization fund that was previously established, of which 50% is going to be used toward debt in 2011. In 2013, the rate would go up to $101.93, and then starting in 2014, the rates would go down as our debt goes down.
And that's the assumption there is the GFF fees stay where they are right now. Basically zero. Okay?
Council approved.
All right. So that would be the impact on the rates. Basically goes up to over $101 and then falls off primarily because there's some debt being paid, some underlying debt that we have in the sewer system. What capital projects might, or will capital projects be deferred because we might be extending the current GFF policy?
Well, you know, just talking a little bit, I haven't evaluated all of the future capital identified in our comp plans, but obviously with the growth in Blaine slowing down, our need for capital has slowed down. But the one thing that I would like to emphasize, and I think this was collaborated by our consultant with CFSG, and that is that kind of what I alluded to when we spoke on this at our last meeting. It's not just what we're deferring in capital, it's that especially in sewer right now, there is no rainy day fund. There's no real cushion if something really should go wrong in our plant. I'm dealing with some warranty issues, for an example. If it involves capital outlay, I don't have it to fix some of the things that are going on. So I think just based on what future capital, I'm a little less concerned because the growth hasn't been there to need that capital. But in terms of the current day-to-day, I don't feel that the sewer fund especially has a fund-ending balance that makes me feel very comfortable as a public works director.
Gary.
Yeah.
What's going to change in 5 years is to you go through this whole process again.
At the end of 5 years.
At the end of this 5 year period.
Well, I don't know what's going to change. I think that.
I mean, you're going to have the same questions, aren't you?
Well, you might. There is a, you know, an argument that says that in the next 5 year period, they're probably. It's likely there won't be a lot of growth, but you might be able to attract an industry or a business that would be substantial enough that it could make a difference on getting customers on our system and making getting new jobs in the community, adding to the tax base. You know, I don't know how to what the odds of that happening are, but it certainly is possible that that might happen in the next couple of years. And if it did, you know, it would probably be worth keeping things the way they are, at least in my opinion, it would be worth doing.
In other words, you'd extend it beyond the, what is it, 2014?
No. This says extend it to the end of 2000, actually it's the late fall 2014, and at that point in time you would probably, I'm not sure that's the point where you would begin discussions for the future. You'd probably want to start doing that a little bit before.
My concern is that you'll have exactly the same arguments that we've got people that are going to do this. We've got people that are, the ratepayers are saying, oh, wait a minute. And so you're going back and forth with the same argument 3 years from now.
It could very well be. I wouldn't. That's about as accurate as I can be on the other side. So, okay, so... you had Reagan's answers on capital, project reduction, and so the implications on our credit rating for future bonding. Let me try this one because I used to do this for a living. I think that that there is a serious implication to some of the financial practices that we have had to use in order to do what we did in constructing a new wastewater treatment facility, and not so much in the water fund. I think that fund has been actually pretty healthy, and we've been able to manage that pretty well. I think that in terms of the lack of cushion that Raven is talking about, the lack of any substantial capital reserve fund, the lack of the coverage that we need for collections, which I mentioned to you before, need to be somewhere between 2 and 2.5. That's 2 or 2.5 times the revenue that's needed to pay for the operation of the system to protect the system in the instance that the revenues might fall off substantially. Right now, if that were to happen, there's no cushion there. We would have a real cash flow problem if for some reason we started we lost water revenue in our system. Our capital improvements program in the water system long term is very aggressive. And even though the water fund is in has been in a fairly healthy condition, it still relies on borrowing. And if we were to go out right now and try to issue revenue bonds for our utilities, particularly for sewer, but for water also, we would have a very, very difficult time borrowing money in the open bond market, because they would look at the way our utilities are being funded right now, and they would say, you know, you're not a good risk. And so, in my experience, it would be very, very difficult to get a bond rating. I think you probably wouldn't get a bond rating. So it would place us in a precarious position if rating agencies looked at this and said, you know, you're having a struggle to keep your sewer system alive, and the first thing they look at is where the revenues have been. So you raise rates, and there's not a lot of opportunity there, at least politically, to raise the rates over $101. And then they say, and then you don't charge a facilities fee to help with the problem. And so, in terms of future funding and particularly debt funding, it's going to be very difficult for us to do projects in the future until we kind of get this straightened out. Yeah, Ken.
So from your perspective, and setting aside the fact that we have this in place now, because I think as we discussed at the last meeting, it's not like there's been this huge number of projects that has availed itself of this opportunities that we've left a bunch of money on the table. So from here forward, is the issue the political one of we're not charging these fees, or is it actually the funding part of it that would preclude us from getting a credit rating or a bond rating?
When you say the funding part, you mean getting revenue back into the system?
Well, I'm just, you know, in my, I don't know that it's tremendously germane, but in my mind, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, will the rating agencies look at this, you know, if we do put this back into place, if the next day we decided to go out, they'd say, well, you're in the process of collecting, that's good, and give us any more favorable treatment than we would have had otherwise.
No.
It's the funding, it's not whether we're collecting it or not, that's the issue.
Right. And it wouldn't happen that quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it, just because you put it back, it doesn't make it, it doesn't make the situation any better for a period of time. Raven can help me out here, but in reading what she and Jeff put together, the difference in revenue, the GFF basically provides no new revenue. The difference between phasing this in and doing it all at once is about $40,000 a year. Isn't that the number? Yeah. It's not $40,000 a year. It's not going to have a huge impact on the rate. It really isn't.
In fact, the rate consultant is saying don't re-affect the fees, but let that build up the bottom line a little bit before you start.
Yeah, use the $40,000. Use the $40,000 in your as the cushion that Raven's talking about, so that you don't get yourself in a cash flow problem and have to go out and borrow money from the water fund or the electric fund or something like that. Because every time we do that, not only does it create a problem internally for our financial situation, but if somebody who's looking at it, like a rating agency looks at that, they see a red flag goes up immediately. So it gives us $40,000 a year to kind of build up some cushion in the fund, so that we can, it's not going to be healthy, but, you know, it's going to be better than it is right now.
Going in the right direction.
Gary, can you clarify that?
What?
I understood that the money that was collected from the, on the GFF, that was to be used for new infrastructure, et cetera. And in order to get loans to do that, you had to have matching funds of some sort, and that was the source, was the GFF. Am I wrong on that?
My understanding is part of it was for that, part of it was for rates.
Yeah, I think you're right. It really depends on, because our debt is fixed, the GFF isn't. So the portion of it that's attributed to the rate is going to be dependent on how much is collected and how much of that new development occurs. Right now, the development, as low as it is, we're not expecting that it's going to help the rate very much. But if it prevents us from doing things like using our rate stabilization fund to pay off our debt, then it's in very good. It's a very good tool to use. Because that stabilization account right now is essentially spending yet another component of the cushion that we have.
I think the other thing, too, is that if we were to grow, say, at 2% a year, which has been historic, our historic growth since the,
for quite a while,
or 100 years, I don't know. But 2% has been the number. When you get a new connection, you not only would get the GFF, but you'd get a new customer that's paying $100 a month. So you know, you get the GFF plus you get another $100 a month into your operating budget. And so it works, you know, it works both ways. Now, Bonnie.
Okay. Key to me is the commitment we made. Verbal, whether it's legal or not, it was a verbal commitment that council made. Okay. That's a key issue for me. And I think there is a sense of betrayal of the people who came to us, there was a key person, yes, involved. He hasn't made money. He hasn't made a lot of money on this. And he never intended to. But he also wanted to incentivize other people to come in and develop downtown as well as new housing, because we need higher population base. But on top of that, when we instituted this in 2009, We were already into the recession. Didn't we look at all this, what we stood to lose? At least, you know, we kind of gave it a ballpark, a shot. What is so different now that we didn't know in 09? Why is it so, I mean, is it so much worse than we ever expected it would be? Because we knew this was going to have somewhat of an impact. Mm-hmm. Just let Gary think about that a minute.
Well, I think certainly one thing that's happened is the economic downturn was probably steeper than we anticipated. But it was bad then, and it's, you know, it's maybe getting a little better. But that's one change. I don't know. What else is... I'd have to think a little bit more about that.
I know we're going to have to delay some capital projects. It's impacting that probably more than anything. But I thought we figured we could delay some of that. We could live with that. Now, I know we haven't had that influx that we wanted to see. That is true. But we have seen some of it, and it's not like we haven't gained anything in the way of taxes. Excise taxes, sales taxes, you know, new people coming on paying utility, you know, the rates. I mean, we've gained something. Mm-hmm. It hasn't just been a, you know, everything lost.
Yeah.
So we have to consider what we've gained in the process as well.
I'll get you here.
I was just going to say that I don't think that really very much has changed since that time. You know, obviously some revenues had, or some money had to be spent. Some of the funds have been probably reduced some. I know that's the case for like the Park Fund. I know that's not what we're talking about tonight, but that's the one I'm most aware of. So there's that change. The biggest change, I think the main reason that we're having the discussion is council asked that we have the discussion. I'm not sure that mm-hmm. there's been a big change in the situation.
What you expected.
But there's three new people sitting there. Frankly, I think that's one of the bigger changes.
And I think the other way to, you know, to address your question is we're looking at this because nothing has changed.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you implemented this. There's no change since we did it. So, I mean, that's one way to address it.
Well, I know there's been questions,
Charlie,
because of that.
The citizens of Blaine have been funding this thing because of higher rates. And I have not had one person come to me and say, this is a good deal. I like raising my sewer rates to pay for this, subsidize these guys that are building houses and stuff like that. I mean, that's honestly, I haven't had one person come up to me and say, hey, yeah, this is really good. Let's keep raising the rates so we can subsidize the builder. I mean, honestly.
It wasn't my understanding.
Has anybody come up and tell you, this is really great?
I didn't know this was going to be used for debt. For debt. I thought this is mostly going to delay capital projects, so that in itself is...
Yeah. Part of your capital budget, those debt service.
That's right.
It's like, you know, you borrowed $30 million. That was the capital project, and so you have to pay it back. So it's the GFF is used for capital projects, and part of the debt service is for the largest capital project we've done in the history of Blaine. Let me get Harry.
Let me just, you know, sort of back up to where we were when this original program came up. I voted for this, and I voted it for only one purpose and one purpose only, and that we were given not an assurance, but we were led to believe that if we did this, we would stimulate growth in the downtown area. And that's the only thing that I was interested in. I wasn't interested in helping individual homeowners build a house. I mean, that was not what I was involved in. I said at the time, I'm from Missouri. I'm having a great difficult time believing that this is going to happen. But I'll go along with it. I'll go along and wait and see what happens. And I was very adamant that we weren't locked into this, that a future council could change this, that we weren't guaranteed. And I guess what's happened with me, what's changed in the 3 years for me
is that my expectation, which was not terribly high, is down to zero. I have not seen anything in stimulate the downtown core.
Well, that's...
I mean, tell me...
I have.
What? What?
We have a extremely successful business that's bringing in a lot of people
what business
to the town
that
never came in. The steakhouse. Well, that in itself.
We didn't need to stimulate the steakhouse. They weren't going to pay anything anyway.
Well, they didn't pay. It's my understanding the steakhouse didn't pay anything because nothing changed.
That's right.
Right? They had the same...
Yeah, they did the same thing.
In that particular
instance,
yes.
So we have not stimulated any new business that would have required them to have paid a fee to hook up. So what I'm saying is how many more years do we want to go down this path before we prove ourselves that this isn't working?
Only our commitment.
I think it's important. Charlie had his hand, then Dennis, okay?
I'm going to go through. I mean, it seems we've sort of transitioned going your questions to the council comments. So are we going to go through and do that now?
That's a good idea. Can we, we'll get these two out of the way, though.
We were told at the beginning of this, when this, the implications were that the rates could be raised up and stuff like that, and we were, I was against it, and most everybody was, because they said if it doesn't work out, I mean, it wasn't like we weren't told that, that it's possible it wouldn't work. When it hasn't worked.
Okay. Dennis?
I go back to what John indicated about what the rationale for the GFF is, and what I got out of that was the rates are to be used for maintenance and operation, ordinary maintenance and operation. And the GFF was to provide revenue for incurred capital costs and capital reserve for replacement. And I somehow I'm hearing that, well, the rates, we can use those monies for these other things as well. And
there's nothing legal, there's no legal requirement that general facility fees that I'm aware of have to be used for capital. That's traditionally what has happened. That's, you know, everywhere I've ever worked, the what we called hookup fees kind of was a buy-in to the infrastructure of the system. But it's, I don't think that there is an RCW that requires facility fees to be used that way.
And the converse for rates, there's nothing that requires that you can't spend rate money on capital facilities. You can.
But if you don't rates. If you don't collect the GFF, then who in the heck is going to pay?
Well, it's got
the ratepayers.
The
sewer utility, the debt service annually is in the neighborhood of $1.9 million a year. There's no way that the GFF is going to pay all of that.
Even if we had them.
Even if we have.
Yeah, that's true.
But
no, but the rate that you're paying is right now paying that, isn't it?
Yes.
Not the GFF.
Well, now there is no GFF, so it's
well, that's my
100%
point, is
of
that
the rate is paying.
You took out a source of revenue, and
right.
And you're looking around and saying, well, the only other source is the ratepayer.
Yeah. Okay, let's...
The source of revenue when our highest point of debt is coming. It's this year and next year. After that, the debt goes down, and we'll hopefully be able to create that cushion again.
We have a half an hour to go, and Ken is right. You can start focusing this. So what I will do is go around, and just you tell each other what it is of those options you prefer. Are there any of them that you could live with, and are there any of them that you absolutely could not live with? So, Clark, and let's try to do this fairly quickly.
Well, I wasn't here when all this happened. And I understand Bonnie feels obligated, and I'm sympathetic with that. But at the same time, in the last 2 or 3 years, I haven't seen anything happen, and the one good thing that has happened, and it is a tremendous thing, is the steakhouse, but I understand from the last meeting that they wouldn't have incurred this anyway. So...
But a lot of property was bought.
I think we're going to let folks talk rather than argue.
Right.
Yeah. I said I'm sympathetic to your position, Bonnie. But since nothing's happened, and I think it's a wedge between a lot of, I see it as a wedge, and I think we should reinstate all the fees and just get on with it.
Okay.
And one other thing that that really has kind of helped me make this decision is John answered this question for me last time. You have some pending deals at the airport property, and I understand through real estate contract you can compensate for the difference in the real estate contract. Is that correct?
Business negotiations.
Yeah, you can set the conditions there. So this is not going to hamper your negotiations with the, so that's salvaged, and that's fine.
Is there any of these other options that you can live with if they were happening?
No.
Okay, Ken?
Well, briefly, I haven't really participated in this discussion because, frankly, I find this to be a continuing political argument from before I was on this council. The facts are that there is essentially nothing that we have gotten out of this, but I certainly don't think that we have been hurt by it because we haven't had any development that we haven't really collected from. I think the issue we need to look at is going forward, and it seems to me that the best way to do that is rather than re-implement immediately is to look at a stepped process where we would do something maybe on a small level, like a third of it here in the next couple of months, and step it up over two additional steps after that. Some sort of a process whereby if there are people out there who have banked on waiting until the fourth year and 11th month, then at least we're giving them some time to be able to get into their development. We're not essentially saying you can't do it under the plans you had, you're just going to have to move it up. But we begin to collect this money and get back to where we ought to have been. The only sort of thing to go back is I would say if I was on this council when the decision was being discussed, I would not have voted for it. I don't think this was the right thing to do, but I'm also not interested in seeing it go back immediately on day one. I don't think that's fair.
Okay. Any other options that if you have to, you could live with them?
I would be more than happy to negotiate any and all of these in order to find a resolution. My preference would be what I think is more of a middle ground, which is a step process to reinstate it.
Harry?
I'll let Bonnie go because I came in late and so I'm kind of thinking about what I want to say.
Option, the one on the back page, the second option, that's absolutely out of the question for me. And I'm just going to hold firm with one, and that's the only one acceptable to me. I don't think we've been hurt to a super great degree that we can't, and to the point where we can't wait another little over a year and a half to, or is it two and a half?
2 years.
2 years, basically. I think we can manage, and I think things could be in the offing in the future. I think it's just sending the wrong message out there. Totally.
Dennis?
Gary, I asked you a question on the email regarding Vista Terrace. Have you got any information on the LID?
On that, we're waiting for the Public Works Trust Fund loan to be announced. We expect that sometime this month. And as soon as we hear it, we're going to jump on it. We hope to take advantage of some of the 8th Street infrastructure costs as our match for the loan. So this is a different source of funding that public loans are low interest.
And it has to be approved by the legislature. So as long as the legislature is willing to grant it, we won't hear it.
The funding source for that was separate.
Well, there are, 50, 60 possible conditions.
That's right.
I would be in favor of going back to the original rates in a stepwise fashion because each step you're going to do this again.
Not in a stepwise fashion.
Right.
So that was number two. Okay. Charlie?
Yeah, I'm in favor of going back to what we started out to do. We have, to me, the only thing it's done is hurt the people, the residents of Blaine. It's increased their cost monthly cost. I mean, we keep raising our water rates. Every rate gets raised up, and we shouldn't be keep having to, we shouldn't have to be subsidizing business come in. And the question I had is, you're talking about this industry that was coming in, is going to buy airport property. Is it possible that we can, I mean, we absorb the hookup fees to get them to buy the airport property? I mean, well, is that a, I mean, an option? I mean, to me, not changing this because of that option, that reason.
Well, my understanding is what Clark said and what John has said is we can negotiate just about anything.
Right. So that means that it's not an issue then.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure exactly what the negotiation would be, but...
Yeah, you'd sit there and say you've got $1 million purchase and they want a credit for 5 connection and VFF fees, and you say we'll have a holdback of $5,000 to apply towards GFF.
Or we'll reduce the cost of the land
by $5,000 and you pay it.
There's possibility that you could negotiate it.
But the money will get into the fund.
One way or another.
Yeah, it has to. Yeah, they would be
It'll go into the fund. You just get less money out of the airport sale. Okay. So we kind of did that with
Mercer.
For their stormwater. Mm-hmm. We kind of built that into the price.
And their traffic impact.
And their traffic.
Because the city had a certain amount of credit for having funded a portion of that project.
Okay. So that takes away that argument, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm in favor of going back as soon as we can. I mean, you look at the rest of the county, they collected them. I mean.
Are those numbers up to date?
What numbers?
The ones that were given for the. On the fee survey?
That's a zap.
I got 2 newer numbers for you. These are last minute from Jeff. Ferndale's current is $66.55, and Linden's current is $62.20. That's on the sewer side.
So that raises theirs a little bit? Or?
Yes. Yeah.
Just on the sewer.
When I looked at it, if you went back to Blaine's original rates, they're $2,000 less than Bellingham, Linden, and Ferndale.
Yep.
Do you agree? Is that right?
Well, I don't know because I don't know what. If you just look at the sewer, they would be lower than.
The GFF was for both of them.
What he sent me was just sewer, so I'm looking at ranking by sewer chart in the bottom. But they would certainly be less than our competitive cities. I guess the one thing that I would say in terms of support to this development contract idea is just to really let us know which areas that you want that for. Is it specifically to downtown or the airport or whatever? Because otherwise, we're in the same situation we're in now, really. Just putting the onus on Gary instead.
Hmm. Okay. Harry?
Well, I sympathize with where Bonnie's coming from. However, I think this was intended to be a stimulus package, somewhat like the federal government's, which did not work. We have had no stimulus in the area in which we intended it to take place. The developers that we were led to believe that were going to or had shown an interest in developing Blaine have not stepped forward and done that. And what we've done, ended up doing, is losing money on individual homes, which was not our intent at all. And I was prepared to trade that off at the time with this idea that we were going to attract in lots of money in the downtown core area. Well, all we've ended up doing is in effect, causing the rate to go up for everybody in Blaine. And I think if we explain to the developers, look, it, we tried this, we were willing to work with you, nothing happened. And if you decide to come into downtown Blaine and spend a lot of money developing some type of a building or something like that, or a hotel or whatever, we'll sit down and negotiate with you. Gary Tomczyk and John Sitkin will sit down with you and we'll negotiate in terms of the price of the property. And if it turns out that we can make a deal with you for paying a hookup fee, well, we'll include that in the total price. I don't think we've lost anything by going back to our original rates, personally. So I would be in favor of going back to the personal rates on the understanding that on the airport land and in the city, if a major development comes along, we'll find some way to accommodate the people who are going to make that major investment.
If so.
Huh?
If so. Step. If the developer had a
meeting. Gary, that's assuming that the city owns the property.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Downtown, we wouldn't own any property. Yeah.
The airport, we would.
Yeah.
Yeah, the airport, we would.
I think an important point to make is we might stand to gain a hotel in the next 2 years that we won't. I dare to say we won't if this is instituted.
What's to keep the person that's selling the property to build a hotel making an offset of the price for that? I mean, right. Is that big a deal?
No, I'm talking about downtown property that's already set aside. This developer has set aside for a hotel.
Well, maybe we should give him a couple of months and he can either put it in a couple of months.
I just want to make
you know, I would not be opposed, Ken. To go along with the idea of phasing in if we had to. I mean, if that was the majority...
You are or aren't.
I would be in favor. I would go along with it if that majority felt that was the way to go.
I think the idea of Raven's presentation, her position, was that you would not vote on this next meeting and then the next day. The fees would be that there would be a period of time that would pass before the fee came on. I don't know what you were thinking, a couple of months or.
Well, I'm not sure what she was thinking either, but I'm going to jump in there. I would advocate for us getting at least 6 months, maybe 9 months, because it takes, you know, like a baby, like growing a baby, it takes about 9 months to grow a project at a minimum. Pretty small project, and so if you want to give people a realistic time frame to say, hey, mm-hmm. Yeah, we gave you your chance, now we're changing it, you need that kind of time, otherwise it's
but during this period of time you can come take advantage of it?
During that period
sure.
of time they could obtain a building permit.
Maybe they get somebody off their butt and do something.
That's my whole
that's point. That's the point.
John, can I just ask a question to help clarify right now the code requires the GFF to be paid
No, at the time of building permit issuance. At the time of building permit issuance.
Is there anything to prevent, getting to the timing and phasing, the code could provide an option to allow a person to pay at the time of building permit application, or another way is that you could, in your code, allow them to best impact the or GFF.
By paying at time of application. Yeah, we could do that.
So
the challenge with that is to, it can definitely be done, and we can work around it, but there is a challenge in determining what that fee would be. See, when someone comes in with the paperwork, we say thank you, then we evaluate what it is they want to do, what size meter, what kind of rate structure applies to them, and then we tell them, okay, so this is how much you will have to pay when they come in to pick up their application. But we could work out a system where when they came in, we could very quickly determine what it is you need to pay on that day. But that really only helps them with a couple of months because they don't have plans.
It's not a time of connection.
They have to have a complete application. So.
Ken?
Well, I mean, I think the key thing for me here is that I agree with what Harry said, that the idea behind this apparently was to provide some sort of stimulus. And I don't think that we saw it. it was an interesting, the way that I had gone to look at this was an interesting test to see if doing something like this would create a stimulative effect. I don't think it did. But here again, I don't, also don't agree with those who are suggesting that we have hurt ourselves or this community by doing this. And it just, it concerns me that we're continuing to push these hard, one side and other political arguments on this issue. We are in a position today where we haven't hurt or helped ourselves, and we need to figure out how to go forward. And the best thing for me now, if we're going to have some sort of a time frame before we put it all back into place, I'm okay with that. But either that or stepping it up or some way where those who, if there are folks who are hiding out there who would like to develop, still have a chance to come in. But we are doing right by the citizens of this city and putting this back into an effect, I think is the right way to go. And it meets, to some extent, what everyone has talked about, rather than saying, I don't care what you think, I'm going to do it the way that I want.
Mark? I don't disagree with that. The step-up time, that's fine. And perhaps somebody can get on the phone and call some of these people that are lurking in the dark, waiting to jump on a development, might just do it. I mean, if they know it's going to be gone in a year or 9 months or whatever, it could just be the promotion to do it. And then at the same time, we have the argument to the citizens that your rates aren't going to go up now because this is coming back, blah, 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 blah. And so there's something between...
You could almost argue that if you do this and you say you're going to put it back in place in 9 months, that would be more stimulative than what the last 3 years has been.
I think so. But at the same time, then you have something for the people, because people are really, $99 for sure is a lot of money.
Yeah, I think a lot.
The idea of the 9 months, I can live with that. But the idea of waiting until the end of 2014, I had no way, as far as I'm concerned. But if you want to implement the fees.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, how do you feel about you have number two? Do you have a problem with phasing it in over, or not phasing it in, but not implementing the increase for 9 months? Is that a problem for you?
As long as the public understands
that's coming back.
That it's coming back. And I would say that if you look at the end of this year, that by
December 31st,
that's it.
Okay, end of this year.
That's a good time.
Gary, I have a question on the rate. So the rate for 2013 that's scheduled to go to 101.93, is that going to have to happen anyway?
Whether we do this or not?
Yeah. I thought we did the 99. We were rigged it.
Well, yeah, we're not going to get the revenue if we don't start this until next year in order to make next mm-hmm. year's bond debt, but we could certainly look at it.
So what happened?
I understand the sensitivity there.
I thought we raised the rate to 99, whatever it was, for the next few years, so we didn't have to go over that $100 mark. Something happened in the collection or something? Because we set the rate up higher.
Do we have funds in the rate stabilization fund, the other half?
The other half.
Yeah. And I suppose if you use the other half of the rate stabilization fund, then you could stay under.
Was that the rationale for why we did?
That's what I understood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why you did the half.
I'd sure like to do that.
You did the half, and then another half, and then.
What we can have them look at is maybe spreading out some of the later payments, because what they show is it actually going down pretty dramatically starting in 2014, and maybe mm-hmm. we just have them revisit.
Have it slower, go down slower.
Leveling out 2013 and not going down as fast.
Right, yeah, maybe that's...
Like I said, I understand the sensitivity around...
Not that going over that $100 mark.
Jeff and I were trading emails till about 5:30 on Friday, and they didn't get an answer back on that. Mm-hmm.
This is probably for John. You can't split... It's every hookup, regardless. You can't split commercial and residential.
You can have differential based upon the meter size.
Okay.
You have to fill it, not based upon location.
Okay, Bonnie, how are you feeling right now? Did it change at all?
Well, I know I don't have the votes, obviously. And so I'm going to have to vote for two. That's the stepped one. Or is it three?
Three.
Three. Three, so it'll hopefully pass.
That could be.
I mean, someone else would have to also.
There's delayed implementation and then there's phased implementation.
Yeah.
I wanted to, Gary, can I clarify something?
Sure.
Councilman Olson.
But I probably still don't have the
focus. Not wanting to have to revisit this again when it's the second half or instituting another half. My proposal and my concept is you don't do that. You develop an ordinance that says the fee will go in at this amount in, say, 2013, and then it will go in this amount in 2014. There's no rediscussion. It's laid out as scheduled.
But
you don't have, each time you raise the fee, you don't have to do this again if you set up an ordinance that says we will implement the fees in this pattern over this time frame.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't that setting the making the future councils.
No, there isn't, because the future council could pass a new ordinance that eliminates your old one and do whatever they want to do. But if they do nothing, your fee structure would take effect and would step forward in time.
I think the idea here is to come up with a decision that doesn't create so much controversy and ill will between ourselves that we don't have to worry about that happening in another year or two.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay,
that's why I'm hoping some of you who are not going for three at all will consider compromising and taking the middle ground and getting on with this.
Yeah. I Clark's
three?
A three, and okay. I would be very comfortable if we...
Well, Clark's a two.
No, I've changed to a three quite a while back.
He says he's a three.
He didn't say it. It's okay. It wasn't your fault.
He told you. Just so everybody understands, three is phased in.
Got
over...
Yes. By the end of the year.
Three is
No.
That's two.
That's two plus.
Okay,
there is a distinction. Two would be implemented by the end of the year. That's number two.
At full force?
At full force, by the end of the year. Actually, at the first of next year. Three is that it would be phased in over 2 years?
Or a couple of implements. However,
it would be phased in.
It could be 3 years.
Two or three steps. It's going to be increased over that period of time.
But it would be up to
starting right away?
Rate.
Huh?
Would be up to the present rate and 2014. The old rate would be in 2014.
It eventually would come back to the old rate. Or actually, in my proposal a couple of weeks ago, I said whatever rate a rate study said was mm-hmm. the right rate. Maybe
right.
That's more, maybe that's less. I suspect it's more because since we didn't collect for a while, I suspect it's more. But not until the 5 years has passed do we get to that full rate.
But that'll be 2014.
2014, August 29th of 2014. To answer your other question, there was I would advocate for it. You still don't even start a rate for a period of time, and I would say something like 6 months, or maybe it's this August 29th, which is
even for phased in.
Even for the first implement.
That's what I'm meaning.
Otherwise, it is the pulling the rug out from under people.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
Plans based
even
on
the phased in doesn't start in 9 months.
Was talking about this. Anybody that's before this going back to the races, just get them back and get them going instead of stalling around.
I think
around.
This will still get them
okay.
The stimulus.
Okay, so I'm going to try to work you down to where we need to be. Clark, are you still a two with a 9 month implement full rate?
At full rate?
Year?
I don't know.
Okay. Ken, you were a three. You still a three?
I would prefer three. I will accept two.
Okay.
Two plus or
so,
that's a two plus.
Yeah, at the end of the year, that's a two plus.
Right. Is that what you want to be? Okay. He's a two plus. Ken is a three, but can live with a two. Harry is a two.
Two plus with a could live with a three.
You can live with a three.
I can live with a three also.
Okay, so you're a two and a three. Bonnie is a three. Now,
Bonnie's a one.
I'm a one with
a one and a three.
And a three plus.
Dennis is a
there is no
plus.
Three plus. There's
are
no
you
three
sure?
Plus. Yeah, three is phased
three
in.
Three plus is phased in, but it doesn't start till 9 months.
Okay.
And that was not the initial.
Two. You're a steady two, huh? No options?
No, I went with the plus.
Okay, that's 9 months. Or
right.
End of the year. Yeah. And Charlie?
Two plus. But my question is, going to the rate, are we still going to reevaluate the rates? I mean, this isn't going to stick us with the rate we had when we implemented.
We're going to. I would assume we're going to reevaluate
the rate.
The
rate that the
That'd be recommended rate.
Recommended rate.
Will it be the beginning?
Whatever you decide, I will take that to Jeff, because we need to look at the rate and understanding your preference for keeping it below $100, even if it means not having the sharp decreases as time goes by.
Is there any problem with doing a rate study and having it done before this would go into place, say, come January, or is that not enough time?
It's usually done.
I don't recommend doing a whole new rate study because this was so recently studied, but I think we can revisit our study and recrunch the numbers and come back.
Get an answer before 9 months. Okay.
Can I just say one more thing? If we can keep it under $100, even with phasing in but not beginning the phase in until 9 months, why can't we go that route? If we can still keep it under.
You just said 2+.
I don't get it.
She wants to maintain this less than
$100. I want like a 3+. I want to phase it in, but not immediately. Like okay. Michael said, okay. I also wanted to give everyone a good heads up about it.
Okay, my understanding 2+ is it just starts beginning January 1, 2013. Correct. That's okay. Then the other one is maybe 2 or 3 steps. After that would be
it may start before that.
Okay.
And then 2 or 3 steps after.
Okay.
Okay, so what I'm seeing here is a 2. You got 2, 2, 2, preference, 2. Can live with a 2. So, you know, if you went on this, you'd have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 at 2+ or whatever.
5 at 2 or can live with a 2.
And this would be under the auspices of not having this happen until January 1st of 2013.
At the 2, yeah.
And that's full rate. Keep us on you know, there's a reason that's why they make everything 99.95.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It is.
And everybody, and what we're hearing, what Raven is hearing, all of us are hearing is that we want to work the rate so that we can stay on $100.
That's right.
What's one more year going to do?
We can't live
with our commitment.
That's
not going to make that big of a
difference. It's your commitment.
I know that, but...
Okay. We're not taking a vote tonight. This is not on the agenda, is it? No, it's not on the agenda for a vote. It will be at the next meeting. So you still have time to think about it. But this will be on... Not tonight's meeting, but the next meeting.
You know, I'm past 65 now. I'll forget about this.
It's going to come in today.
Tomorrow. What if you call Social Security?
Just take your Alzheimer's pills and you'll be all right.
Just this package.
If there were only the words, I just thought you were